grandeur or delusions of grandeur and power, meaning that you think you can get away with anything, you can think you can do anything you want, and you're untouchable. And it's funny because for a long time he was referred to as as one of the untouchables. Remember, as in the old TV series? Because Governor Spitzer was one of the guys that led a very powerful movement to clean up corruption in New York.
Yep. He was a huge reformer, and he had a lot of enemies.
I have a question, though. This wasn't the only time he had done this. He was
this
client.
Is not a one-off. No, he's
been... so it wasn't just for one night. This guy had been doing this for a while.
Right, which then leads me to the next point. Because it's believed, and until it's all fully proven and it's all out, it's believed that he may have been doing this going back as far as 2002. It's said that he may have spent up to $80,000 on these high-end prostitutes. Okay. So the next question is, remember, I said to you a while ago on your show, I said the things that we teach are the things we need to learn.
Yes.
Now,
Let's just focus on that.
Right, because what has he been teaching?
Exactly what he's been doing.
He's been teaching everyone about cleaning up corruption. He's been talking about cleaning up the city. He's been talking about how bad prostitution and all these other activities are, and what is he engaging in? The very things that he needs to clean up.
Wasn't it interesting?
Yeah, wasn't it the same situation with Larry Craig?
With many people, and I'll use two other quick examples, one that relates to my own experiences in Australia when I was actually a journalist, and I remember I was on TV interviewing a senator who was complaining about the about an AIDS campaign which involved a pamphlet that appeared to be very explicit in its portrayal of sex between men. And he was very, very passionate about this, saying it's so wrong, we shouldn't be having these sort of displays of this sort of behavior. It's almost we're promoting the bad activity. And then he gets off camera and he says, well, how was I, Patrick? Was I good? And I said, well, what do you mean? I said, and I didn't understand what he was saying. He was trying to say, well, you know, did I do a good job? Was I colorful? And I said, oh, yeah, okay, you were fine. Okay. Later, I went on to work with Senator Don Chipp, who was a very powerful senator in Australia, who then in private revealed to me that this senator, the one who was campaigning and crusading against these pamphlets, was having his own private affair with his secretary.
Oh, boy. Right, so it's the hypocrisy. It's the very thing that they're trying to reform and change is what they need to change within themselves. I mean, you see it all the time. You're not even surprised. And in the last year, we've seen it with a lot of men in Congress, men of power, men that can make changes. And the whole idea of things being, whether it's in Larry Craig's case, here's a guy that basically was against some of the policies for gay rights, and yet here he was engaging in gay affairs for many, many years.
And that leads us to the next point. A lot of it is about self-hatred. It's I hate in me these things, and the only way that I believe I can clean them out of me is by cleaning them out of other people.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that before.
Now, that then leads us to another point. Well, it's, just to give another example on the same point, then I'll lead to the next one. Is that any different to the Bible-bashing Christians who say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, and usually the ones who scream so loudly are the ones who engage in the most amount of hypocrisy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because the person that, you know, if you're going to use the example of Christianity, Jesus didn't go around bashing anyone or telling anyone, you know, in loud noises, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Son of God. He didn't do that. He just did what he had to do.
I mean, for all you know, Jesus was basically smoking hemp saying, just be cool, everybody.
Well, I think the point is that his message was not about himself. He was more interested in the message than trying to say to everyone,
right,
look how great I am.
He was actually against sacrament. He didn't like all the sacraments, because if you tell people what to do, and that's a whole other topic.
But there is a good point in what you just said, because Jesus always talked about forgiveness. You see, he didn't actually condemn the prostitute. He walked around with all those people. All he said to them was, stop it. Don't do it anymore. He didn't say, you're a bitch, you're a hoe, how dare you do this? Don't you know your God's going to curse you? Don't you know you're going to... He didn't say that.
The judgmentalness of it all.
Sorry?
Being judgmental.
He didn't do that. He simply said to her, stop it, don't do it anymore. And he prevented anyone from casting stones, because saying no one's perfect. Now, that leads us to the next point. And this is a very, very important point. And And I like to make this very clear. There is a dark side in all of us. When I refer to the dark side, we all have the capacity to commit both good and bad. There is good and evil that exists within us. I don't believe it's anyone controlling us. It's that we have the choice. This is our free will. And yes, when you're in a position of power, it is very easy to be open to the temptation.
I know what you mean. Like, I would never want to see Oprah mad.
Well, what happened to... Here's an example, and I have a lot of respect for her.
But I do, too.
How did she respond to Hermé when they said no to her? What did she do? She made the big thing out of it and made a whole TV show around it. What's that telling you? That's about power.
Right.
Why didn't she just accept it or write them a letter and say, look, this is really bad. Why did you do this? No, she had to make a really big thing out of it to try and embarrass them.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with the story.
I'd need to look over the exact details, but basically I think she was refused entry in one of the shops because they didn't know who she was. And they
Yes, I remember. Okay, now I remember that.
And so they may have made the judgment based on her color or her race or the fact that they didn't know her or they didn't think she was rich enough because they didn't recognize her. Now, you know, I might go up to someone and out of anger say, you idiots, don't you know who I am,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. But do I need to conduct a whole TV show around that? Do I need to make it such a big thing? So my point is,
yeah.
The ego comes into it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I believe that we all have the capacity to commit both good and evil. We all fall into temptation. And when we have power, we do get carried away with a delusion. We fall to the delusion that I can do anything I want and that there's nothing wrong with me. I can get away with it.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Patrick Wanis. He's a human behavior and relationship expert. We need a new title for you. That's too long for me.
Most people say celebrity life coach. You can use that.
I'm going to use a celebrity life coach. He's a regular broad on our show, and we're talking about Elliot Spitzer, who just resigned as governor of New York. So going back to Elliot, so you're saying there's a dark side in all of us. You've mentioned self-hatred. You've also mentioned cleaning other people up because you need to clean yourself up. So should we have sympathy for him? How do we handle this as the public? Should we forgive him?
Well, there's two different points. It's up to his wife to make the decision of forgiveness, compassion, and she can still forgive him and have compassion and say, but I'm leaving you.
Mm-hmm.
She can do that, and she would be, and that would be fine. That's her choice because she can forgive him, but she doesn't have to stay in the relationship. She can say, I forgive you, but I no longer trust you. Two different things.
Yeah, I mean, how can she? Yeah.
Right, that's number one. But regarding us, he's in a position of power. He's in a position of leadership. He's meant to be a role model. He's meant to be an example. He's meant to be helping cleaning up the state, not encouraging the very activities he's supposed to be preventing, not engaging in the very activities he's supposed to be preventing. So in that situation, you can have personal compassion. You can forgive him, but that doesn't mean he should stay in that position. So he has done the right thing to resign, and he did it because he realized that if he doesn't resign, it's going to become even darker and dirtier as everyone goes after him and says to him, it's time to impeach you, it's time you leave.
Patrick, if this was something like drugs, alcohol, oxycodone, something like that, we would feel sorry for him. We would have sympathy for him. Because we would. Because look at the Kennedys. Look at these other people that, you know, they end up having a bad drug habit or they're an alcoholic. Why is it when it comes to sex and prostitution and the drive of sex in people, and in this case, Elliot Spitzer, it's ruined his life? I mean, if the guy happened to just not have a libido, he wouldn't be in this circumstance right now.
Because the reason, you know, in America, it's interesting. America is the land of taboos. Anything that's taboo, we engage more in, and we're more interested in learning more about it, number one. Number two, in America, we believe that sex is much more evil than violence. We're happy watching violence on TV, but not sex. Oh, we saw a nipple. Oh, my God, run for your life. But we can have people punching each other. We can have people stabbing each other, and that's fine because violence seems to be okay.
Do you think Americans find sex so much more evil than violence? Because that's a very provocative thing to say, and I think it's very true with a lot of people. We are so scared of it. We are so afraid of it. We're trying to hide it. It's dirty. It's ugly. But yet we engage in all this violence.
Games of violence. We would never allow them to engage in video games of sex.
Or pornography. Hey, kid, watch a porn.
No, I'm not, but it doesn't have to be pornography.
No.
Now, having said that, you asked me the question, why is that? I think that goes back to a lot of our Puritan values, and our Puritan values being that we must be pure, number one. Number two, it's also about control. Now, here's another radical. You know, I love to give you these radical philosophies.
And you know what? Yeah. I love them. I love them because okay. They're great. Because people don't talk about these and say all this new age metaphysical stuff that we're constantly talking about and the repackaging and branding of the secret and the power. We have to talk about these core inner drives because it's ruining people.
Well, there is. I've talked about this before. The reptilian part of the human brain is made up of love, lust, hate, fear, and pleasure. Okay, so lust or sex drive is a natural part of us. We try to deny that. Why do we try to deny that? Because of the following. What is something that has been engaged in for a long time around the world, dating back to very old cultures? Female circumcision, often really referred to as female genital mutilation. Now, what's the history of that? Men cutting off the clitoris of a woman so that they can lower her sex drive, lower her interest in sex, lower her pleasure of sex so that she won't stray and so they can do what? Control her.
Right.
What's the best way of controlling people? What's another way of men controlling women?
Is they can pay for it?
They can pay for it, or purely and simply just trying to find ways to cage sex.
Self-contain it.
Control people through it. Because think about it. You know, a lot of the strippers, they think they're in power. They have no power.
Yeah, well.
Because the men are paying, and it's about power. Most of the sex that we see on TV is designed for the pleasure of men. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that this is a whole different discussion, but I do want to say that...
But you were talking about control, and with Elliot Spitzer, he needed to have sex in a controlling way. He had to pay for it. He had to have a high-end prostitute. They had to have certain stats we were talking about, you know, 105 pounds, the brunettes, you know, he had a certain type. And that goes back to control and a lot of other things.
Yeah, I don't know all of his personal issues, but I will say it's quite obvious to anyone, let alone a human behavior expert or a psychologist or anyone who studies the human psyche, that there is an obvious case of control when a man pays for a woman to get a train from, I think she was coming from New York to D.C., pays for a cab fare, pays for a hotel, then pays for sex. Do you not think he has the ability to say to her, get in, get out, leave me alone,
mm-hmm.
do it this way? That's control.
Yes.
That's power.
It's control and power. And unfortunately, now, it's the very people that have the control and the power, the reformers, that are in these positions. It's just, it's so ironic. It's almost...
Well, doesn't that also fit into what I said earlier about delusions of grandeur and power? Where
the
power gets to you, and so you think you can do whatever you want, and now you want to engage the power over individuals in a sexual situation.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. I was thinking about this driving home yesterday. With all the people that have been caught in the past, Patrick, how does somebody like Spitzer feel like Larry Craig got caught, McGreevy got caught? How does he think that he's not going to get caught, and the guys that are doing it right now?
How many of us live in denial every day of that aspect of our life? I mean, let's be completely open, because I'm not going to pretend I'm perfect. There are things that I sometimes deny. How many of us procrastinate putting in our tax return, hoping it'll go away?
Mm-hmm.
How many of us are late in paying bills?
But this is such I don't mean to interrupt, but like this sense of judgment with this. You know what I mean? And somebody is doing it right now. It's happening right now with a political official. I mean,
but for him, it's smaller than it is for you and I, because he's in such a huge position of power that act is a lot smaller. Plus, I don't know what else was happening in his dynamic, in his relationship with his wife. What was happening in his life? Is he just looking for the adrenaline rush?
Yeah.
Of not.
You know how dirty
caught?
She must feel.
You know what I mean? The other topic is for her. I mean, is that any different to Hillary Clinton? And then you ask yourself, well, why does she, whether it's Hillary or Governor Spitzer's wife, or former Governor Spitzer's wife, plan to stay with him?
Well,
is it purely selfish reason?
And also, you know, she wants to stand by her man. She's, I guess it's been said
it
that
looks
she's
better.
Yeah, it does look better. There's all.
You will have less pity on her. You'll respect her more if she stays in the relationship than if she walks away. Because if she walks away, then we look at her the way we looked at Monica Lewinsky. She's dirty. or she's being betrayed, or we start to look down on her. But if she stands up and says, oh, I'm going to make this work, well, we have more respect for her. Now, I'm not saying that's her motivations. I don't know what her motivations are.
Now, Patrick, we're talking with Patrick Wanis, a celebrity life coach. If you want to call and talk with us about this or him, 1-866-758-2535. Now, yesterday, I get so upset with these women that that I feel like bring us down, send us back decades. And one reason is like this woman standing by her man, Spitzer. And we had somebody call in yesterday, and she said, you can't possibly know how it feels. Her husband had an affair on her. Well, he's not a political official. He's a high-powered and very popular doctor in the area where they live, and she is standing by him, and she wants to even try to fix the relationship, and she says her heart is just broken, and she understands why she's doing it.
Well, one of the reasons, she said, is because of the children.
Well, that's a possibility, and I'm sure Spitzer's children are adults by now, having said that. Number two, look at the situation of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Did she not do better staying for her political career, staying in the relationship than getting out of it?
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember, we're not talking about a couple in the suburbs that work in the government. This is a whole different world, you know,
but
and we're trying to understand their world. And women that are married to political figures, they live a different life. They're not going to just leave their man and kick him out. They don't do it. They just don't do it.
Well,
it's a different lifestyle.
They don't do it for other reasons, too. One is, you mentioned lifestyle. It's the whole social circle.
Yes.
If she leaves that, will she still be in the same social circle? Will she still have access to all that he had access to? It's easy for someone to say, well, I'm doing it because of religious reasons, or I'm doing it because of the children, or I'm doing it because of a commitment. Well, what other benefits are you getting by staying in the relationship?
I'm sorry, but just on what you guys were talking about earlier with Hillary Clinton, I think she could have stayed in politics. I think she would have done just fine.
Really?
Yes, I do. I think she'd been doing better.
Well, I can tell you something based on what the interviews I saw. She hasn't forgiven him, and she's not over it.
Oh, court? How can
you
be?
You can't be. I'm sure this.
Well, she can forgive him.
Well, the Spitzer situation is probably bringing up a lot for her because it's, again, the big reminder of what happened in 1998.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton a month ago on a Larry, I think it was Larry King or someone interviewing her and asking her about that. And she didn't come out right and say, yes, I was really hurt and I've forgiven him. The tone of her voice and the insinuation of her words was, I'm still really pissed at my husband, and I haven't forgiven him, but I'm still in the relationship.
Which
isn't good. It's not healthy.
No, it's not. And again, it goes back to forgiveness. Patrick Wanis, you're a regular broad. Please come back again. You're always so insightful. One of the best people we have on our show as far as trying to figure out people's motivations. Because that's, in the end, Patrick, we are constantly trying to figure out why. Why? And so these drives, the self-hatred, all this stuff is just fascinating. So thanks for coming on the show, and we'll probably talk to you next week.
My pleasure.
All right, Patrick, we'll talk to you later. Okay, let's take some phone calls. 1-866-758-2535. We're going to take phone calls.
I want to talk to women that have either... I would like to hear from some women that have dumped their asses after something like this happened. And then I do want to hear the other side of the story, too.
In political power or just the average dump?
It just doesn't matter. No, yeah. I mean, the woman from yesterday, she lives in the burbs with her kids, probably. And it happened
to her.
Well,
no, she doesn't live in the burbs like that. I mean, she was in a position of, she was dating someone that was
married. Yeah.
Yeah. Highfalutin.
Highfalutin.
Highfalutin. All right. We'll be right back. We're the broads on Take 5 XM 155. We're taking your calls. We'll be right back.